Hey, well, it really is good to have you with us this morning. And so much, there's so much going on in life. Anyone else finding life a little bit busy at the moment? A few people? I'm finding life quite busy. But in the midst of your busyness of life, you've chosen to come and gather with us. And some of you are like, well, of course, it's what I do every Sunday. But every Sunday, you do have a choice on what you do and where you go and how you spend your time. And we're just so grateful, and we think it's a great choice that you've made to come and worship God with us, to hear some of his word, and to just enjoy morning tea. We all love morning tea. To encourage one another and build one another up in our journey of faith, wherever that journey of faith has taken us to this point. Early in the 5th century, that's a long time ago, there was one day a young man, a young teenager who was taken from his home in Britain into slavery by some Irish raiders. Taken from his homeland, he was without family, without resources, immersed in another language and culture, separated from what was once known, with no hope and nowhere to turn. In his isolation, he turned to the solitude of the fields and the hillsides, and he began to pray. His father had been a wealthy landowner and held quite a significant position in the community and within the church, and his grandfather was a minister in the church. But it was an inherited faith that he had. It wasn't personal to him. And so poverty and in the field were not very well known to him because he was of a family that was well looked after and well respected. And so he was left with little but to turn to God. And in his time of slavery, Patrick learnt to solely rely on God. With nothing from the privileged life that he had once had, God captured his heart for the love of Christ. Having grown up around faith, it was never something that he had personally made a decision about for him. But out in the lonely fields with the cattle, he became very aware of God's protection and provision, and discovered that God personally loved him like a father loves his son, and he became a follower of Jesus. Outwardly, nothing changed for Patrick. He was still a slave in a foreign land. But this land of captivity became the land of his freedom in God. A slave of man had become a son of God. And one night, while in slavery, Patrick had a dream. And he believes that it was God speaking to him in this dream that said, "There is a ship waiting for you to take you home. The only problem, it was 200 miles to the east." That's a long way. 5th century, long time ago, 200 miles, long way. Okay, not super important, but good for my memory. 200 miles east, and so he decides he's going to make a break for it, and he runs this time, and he probably didn't run the whole time, it's a long way, until he finds the ship to take him home, back to his family and to his homeland. And relieved to finally be home after years of slavery, perhaps Patrick took a big sigh of relief. Maybe I will take my father's position and title when he passes on, a title that had been passed from generation to generation, to take his rightful place in a position of power and prominence in the community, no longer a slave, but free. Free to live his life with God in the comfort of his homeland. But God had other plans. In John chapter 1, verses 43, we see Jesus and he's beginning to call his disciples. And we see that Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. And it says this in verse 43 of chapter 1 of John. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. I don't know about you, but I love this passage because I love Nathanael's just total honesty. Nazareth? What good could possibly come from Nazareth? His genuine curiosity, how is that even possible? Have you been to Nazareth? Have you seen the lovely place that is? But when Philip found Nathanael and he told him, we have found Jesus, the one promised to us, the hope of the world, the one who we've been told stories out of for many, many years. He's finally here and I know where he's from. He's from Nazareth. Nathanael replies, Nazareth? Really? Can anything good possibly come from there? His disbelief, his doubting. How could anything of significance come from such a place as that? I wonder if Patrick, after he'd left slavery and finally made his way home, wondered what could God's plans possibly have been of all those years in slavery? How could anything good come from there? But Philip, someone who's already responded to the call of Jesus, who's just said, follow me. Philip's response was to go and tell others. He goes and finds Nathanael and he says, come and see. It's Philip's invite. Come and see for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Look, I found Jesus, the one we've waited for. This was Philip's response to Jesus' calling. This happened straight after each other in this passage in John. Notice he didn't stop and commit to spending 10 years to figuring out, was this really Jesus? And how might I tell him about him in a really good way? And forsaking all our study and spend 10 years making sure he had all the right answers and was going to be really convincing to get his life perfectly in order. But no, he didn't do any of that. He went and found Nathanael to tell him, we've found the one Moses wrote about. The one the prophets wrote about, Jesus. Shouldn't that be our response to people? Even when they doubt, even when they do not yet believe, is to simply say, like Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. Look what I've found. I've found hope. Look, I've discovered purpose. I've discovered joy in my life. See the courage that I have to face uncertainty. Come and see. Come and visit my life group. Come and see, meet others of faith at church. Come and see the transforming power of Christ. Look, he heals. Look, he restores. Come and see my Savior. Patrick had found Jesus like Philip had. And in his years of slavery, he'd come to rely on God's provision and strength. He knew for himself. And now finally in freedom again, he loved and served God. But one night, finally, in the comfort of his homeland, having just perhaps had a meal with his family and going, oh, life is good again, Patrick had a vision from God, a vision to one day return to Ireland. And he wrote about it like this. He said, I saw a man coming, as it were, from Ireland, and he carried many letters. And he gave one of them to me, and I read the heading. And it said, The Voice of the Irish. And as I began the letter, I imagined in that moment that I heard the voice of those very people. And they cried out as if with one voice, We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us again. Knowing this was God's calling to him to one day return to the land that had once held him in slavery, Patrick began to prepare for his eventual return. For 12 years he studied, until in 432, that's a long time ago, he was sent as a missionary to Ireland. Many of you will know in that time Ireland was controlled by druids and mysticism and all sorts of other pagan gods, and the nation was gripped by their power and submitted to their ruling. But during the Druid springtime, there was a festival known as Beltane. And there was a ritual where the pagan priests commanded that all the fires in all of Ireland were extinguished under the threat of death. The pagans would then light a fire called the High King's Fire from which all other fires would be relit. But because the pagan festival occurred at the same time as Easter, St. Patrick seized the opportunity and climbed the Hill of Slane and built an enormous Easter bonfire that could be seen for miles around. Don't know if you have an Easter bonfire, but it sounds like a good idea to me. This infuriated the High King, and he sent soldiers and chariots to kill Patrick and put out his fire. But the soldiers were unable to extinguish it, and the light of Christ truly dawned on Ireland. And so began the story of St. Patrick and the movement that he empowered to reach all parts of Ireland, eventually the British Isles and on into Europe with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God had taken a man, young Patrick, in his teenage years with an inherited faith into an apostle compelled by the Spirit to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. As you read some of the writings of what he wrote about, his writings don't reveal the training of a scholar, but they do reveal a heart of a man compelled by the love of Christ, led by the Spirit and guided by the Scriptures. Patrick was obedient to the calling of God, obedient to the voice of God, willing to return to a people that had once held him and stolen many years of his life in slavery. Because he knew that there was a call from God to a people who were lost, a people who did not yet know Jesus. One thing I love about Patrick's willingness to go and serve was his willingness to go to the people who had once enslaved him. But this time he was going prepared. Yes, he'd spent some time in study, but from his years of slavery, he knew language, he knew culture, he knew what was important to the Irish people, and he preached the gospel, lived the gospel in a way that the people of Ireland could know and begin to follow Jesus. What once could have been a moment in his life where he looked back and said, how could anything possibly good come from slavery? God began to use in a way that only Patrick could have. He'd learned the culture, discovered Jesus, and could now begin to lead the people to follow Jesus. Nothing had been wasted in God. That season perhaps had felt lonely, separated from the people and the places that he knew. Feels like pain now, God can redeem and grace for a future season. What's harder than it should have been will not be wasted in the kingdom. Choose in every season to lean in and to learn. Lean into God and learn the rhythms and patterns of the season that one day, just maybe, you might minister into another person's life walking through a same or similar season as what you're walking through right now. And isn't it awesome that we walk through seasons not in our own strength, but we walk the highs and lows of life by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God in us to walk with us daily. We don't do it alone. We don't do it in our own strength. Seasons can feel long, tough, and exhausting, but we choose to lift our eyes off our current season to the things above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In the here and now, things are hard, the season is long, but I choose to lift my eyes. I set my mind on things above and not on earthly things. Yes, I must walk the earthly journey ahead of me, but I trust that God has a plan and purpose for my life, that I am not a mistake. My life and experiences are not wasted in Christ, that God is doing new things, bringing streams in the wasteland, bringing living water that will give life, purpose, and meaning to what once felt wasted. Jumping back to John 1, verse 46 to 50. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree. You will see even greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Notice that it was Philip who invited Nathanael, but it was Jesus who brought revelation to him. Philip had said, come and see this God that I have known, this God that I have met. Come and meet this person of Jesus. But it was not Philip who then had to convince Nathanael of anything great about Jesus. It was Jesus who saw him, Jesus who reached out, called to him, Jesus who struck up a conversation with Nathanael. Jesus brings revelation. Jesus reveals things in his life that others didn't know. Before Philip even called you, I saw you. I knew you, is what Jesus is saying. We can read about that in Jeremiah 1 verses 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And Nathanael's revelation is Jesus says, I knew you. I saw you even before Philip called you. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Entrust people to Jesus. Give them to him in prayer. Tell them about Jesus. Show them love, his grace and forgiveness. Invite them to come and see. But then step back and allow God to do what only he can do. Jesus brings revelation. We're invited to invite people to come and see. But it's God who brings the revelation. We testify and tell stories. Time and time again in the Psalms, it tells us to write it down, to let it be known, to speak about, to testify that another generation would know God. In fact, in John 3:11-14, Jesus answers Nicodemus in this way, just ask him a question. And Jesus responds, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. That even when he here on earth told people about God's plans, some still did not believe. But this is and was still God's plan. That he loves the world, loves you and I so much that he came and lived a perfect life. One free from sin, that stuff that separates us from the perfect and holy nature of God. And then took all that punishment on himself so that we could have a relationship with him. We are but witnesses. We can only testify and point people to Jesus. People who will testify of what he has done and is doing in our lives. Acts 1 verse 8 says, and then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus sends us, but we are not the ones who save. We are not the ones who forgive sins or heals. It is God. It is Jesus, the work that he started and finished on the cross. It is by the restoring work of the Holy Spirit in us. This is why Patrick went back to Ireland. And what a legacy he left. When he passed away in about 461, the overwhelming majority of the Irish people were followers of Jesus. The movement he led that helped build the Church of Ireland and release the Irish people into the God-given potential began with a slave boy, willing and obedient to the voice of God. Our story might not be just like Patrick's, but this is what moves us to go into the local schools and serve kids. It's what moves us to start a drop-in center for young people on a Friday night, planting seeds of faith. We invite and we plant a seed, and then God does the rest. Philip did the inviting, but Jesus did the rest. Patrick had a revelation from God, was obedient to the call. He served people, he loved people, he taught people out of a knowing from their culture, from a time that he was in slavery, that we go, how could that ever possibly be used? And then God brought revelation. We invite, we plant the seeds, but God does the rest. 1 Corinthians 3, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And like Philip invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus. We let Jesus do the work that only he can do in our lives and the lives of others around us. And I invite the band to come join me again. This is what moves all of us. Obedience to the call of God. Humility to allow God to use every season of our lives for his kingdom purposes. Trusting that nothing is wasted in him. Give your season to God. It's him who can use it. Him who can make you grow. It's his plans. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you stand with me this morning if you're able? Sometimes I think we can look at a man like St. Patrick, and maybe many of us didn't even know his true story. We just see people dressed in green, which I did not wear on purpose this morning, I promise, and I did know it was Patrick, St. Patrick's Day. Sorry? Oh, in the tartan! Oh, that's Scottish. You're confusing me now. Maybe you didn't know the story of St. Patrick. You're just doing what the world's, what they're telling you was important to know about him. But Patrick's call was one of obedience and something that could have felt totally wasted, those years of slavery in a foreign land. But as he was obedient to God's call to go back to that place that once held him in captivity, I bet there were moments where he felt so isolated and alone. There were moments where he felt like there was no hope in that place. For God to ask him to go back. But for him to have a personal revelation that God loves me so much, that God has set me free from that, that I will go back to places that once hurt. Places that once hurt me because I now carry hope. I now carry revelation of Jesus that I can, like Philip, who's had a revelation of who Jesus is, invite others. St. Patrick could invite others to know Jesus. That we can look at his life and go, well, I could never do what St. Patrick did. I don't know if I could ever travel the length and breadth of New Zealand carrying the gospel message. But what if we just invited one more to come and see Jesus, and then let Jesus do the rest? It wasn't up to Philip to convince Nathanael of everything about who Jesus was and why it aligned up with Scripture and why he'd had a personal revelation. Jesus did it. As Nathanael was approaching, Jesus says, "This is a man. I knew you, I saw you. How could anything good come from Nazareth?" We all go through seasons, we all go through stuff. And we can look back and go, how could God ever do something with that? What good could possibly come from this? Look for those patterns. Learn the rhythms of the season. That maybe one day God might call you to go to someone else who's walking through a same or similar season, to take a message of hope, to come and see that the Lord is good. Lord, this morning we trust. We trust in your plans for our lives. We trust in your goodness. We trust that you do have plans for each of us. That we are your workmanship, your craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you have planned in advance for us to do. God, we pray for everyone walking through a hard season right now. Isolation, pain, confusion. Whatever it is, Lord, that they are walking through, would they know the closeness of your Holy Spirit? Would they know the joy of the Lord as their strength? Lord, would you redeem and restore seasons of our lives where we have gone, what good could possibly come from that? That we'd be bold enough to say to others, those in our lives, that Philip ran to find Nathanael, that we would go to our spheres of influence, to the places where we live our everyday life, and simply say to people, come and see. We would testify, we would witness to people by the power of your Holy Spirit. We would tell stories of healings of people we know. We would tell stories of your faithfulness in our lives from one generation to the next. And Jesus, we ask that you would do what only you can do in people's lives. We would entrust them to your care, that you would bring revelation. You would stir something within people. You draw them to yourself. So Lord, we put our lives, our plans into your hands. Reveal to us your call on our life, the call of every one of us to go. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so it be in our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray.